It's good to see each of you out tonight, and if you'll be turning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter, that's where we'll begin in just a moment, Matthew chapter 10. As we've come to the Wednesday night service, I want to say how much I appreciate each and every one here. I've been looking forward to getting to know you better, and as I've got to know you, I've been impressed with your faith and your vitality for the Lord, your love for the truth, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate your invitation to be with you. Good to have Sister Yant visiting with us tonight. Appreciate her. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 10th chapter, if you will, look with me beginning at verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Then if you take your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Corinthians and the 13th chapter. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice, if you will, verses 2 and 3. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. In the two different scriptures that I read, I want you to think about two different acts. And I was always told when I was growing up, there are two sides to most problems. You have one side and then you need to hear the other side. And that's true when you think about right and wrong. There are two sides to every action. But I think that that is true in general when we have a problem, whether it be in the family life or in the local church. There are usually two sides to consider. But at this time, what I'd like for us to do is give careful study to the fact there are two sides to every action that God has commanded us to perform. In the two passages we read, I'd like for you to go back and notice in the book of Matthew in the 10th chapter that Jesus here is talking to the people about receiving a prophet's reward, and he gives them some things to think about. First of all, he said, whosoever shall give to drink a cup of cold water will gain a reward or not lose their reward. Now think about that outward action. Here is an individual that just gives a cup of cold water. There's not a lot of work in that. Even in that day and time when they didn't have running water, we don't even have it here tonight, but in that day and time when they didn't have running water and they had to go to the well to get the water, there was not much of an action to go get the water and share with an individual. And yet Jesus said a person who does such, an individual that even gives that kind of a gift, he said they will not lose their reward. There's not a lot of cost involved. There's not a lot of trouble. But I want you to take note they did so with the right attitude. But then if you take your Bible in 1 Corinthians 13, stop and consider this verse and look at the contrast. Here is one that said he bestowed all his goods to feed the poor. And get that word, all. He's willing to give all that he had to feed the poor. He's willing to give his body as a sacrifice for his religious beliefs. Then notice the statement it said, it profits me nothing. Now think about the outward expense. He says, I've given all. And I want you to think about if we're to judge which individual gave more, which would be more pleasing to God, I think most of us would say it would be the individual that gave all. Because all we can see is the outward act. But we must remember there are two sides to every action. And that God not only sees the outward action, God sees the motive for what we do. And I want us to stop and think about, in every action we do, the motive must be right. We must be motivated by the love of God. We must be motivated to do what is right because we love God and we recognize He knows our heart. If you have your Old Testament with you tonight, if you would kindly, turn with me to 1 Samuel and the 16th chapter. And when you come to 1 Samuel and the 16th chapter, God had sent Samuel to anoint the next king. He was displeased with Saul. And he tells him to go down to Bethlehem. Go down to the area where Jesse was. And he said, Jesse has several sons. But he told Samuel, when you get there, don't anoint the one that is the greatest in stature. Don't look at the one that is the most physical specimen. But God tells him in verse 7, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God wants to know our motive. God looks at the inward part and the outward part. So tonight I need to recognize there could be somebody that does a lot of good things outwardly, but their motive is selfish. And I'll tell you that both acts must be right to be pleasing to God. Let's just take several examples. Let's just look at baptism for just a moment. Now here is the command of God to be baptized. There's no question to the outward act that one must go down into the water, that one must be immersed into Christ. We can take our Bible and look in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, and we'll remember that in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, that when Philip had preached to the eunuch Jesus, that man saw water, that man asked, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now, why did he make the chariot stand still? Because it says in verse 38, both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Now, if he could just sprinkle or pour to administer baptism, he wouldn't have to get out of the chariot. That could be done as they were riding along. But notice the chariot was stopped. Both got out of the chariot. Both went down into the water because baptism is an immersion. It's a burial. If you take your Bible in the book of Colossians in the 2nd chapter, you remember that we made mention of this the other night. But in Colossians chapter 2, when Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, notice, if you will, in verse 12, he said, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Then in your Bible, in the Roman letter and the 6th chapter, in Romans chapter 6, if you will, look at verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is a burial, but that's the outward act. Have you ever thought about the inward part of baptism? That I must come by faith in the Son of God to be saved. I can be immersed, but if I don't have faith in the Son of God, all I'm doing is getting wet. All I'm doing is getting into some water. One must have faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that Jesus can take away our sin. In Acts 2:38, we quote it, but sometimes I wonder if we think about it as much as we should. When Peter told them on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. In the name of Christ means by his authority. So the inward act must be that which motivates me. I must have faith in Jesus. Open your Bible back to Romans chapter 6. And when you come back to Romans chapter 6, look at what it said in verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you, watch it, obeyed from the heart. Underscore, obeyed from the heart. That's the inward part. God sees both sides. God sees that we go under the water, but God knows what motivates us. And God says you obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What motivates one to be baptized? If one wants to be baptized to join the church, they have the wrong motive. If one's baptized because they believe they're already saved, they have the wrong motive. One is baptized for the remission of sins to get into Christ. That's the motive, that my sins may be blotted out, that I can be a child of God. Now then, I need to have the right motive. I need to understand why I'm being baptized. and I need to do it on my faith. Outwardly, it must be correct, but inwardly, it must be correct as well. Two sides to every head. But then think about something else. Tonight we've come and Brother Mason has led us in singing, and we've sang songs of praise to God. And we understand in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 that we're told to sing praises. We're told to let our hearts be plucked as we sing these songs of praise. And we recognize that there is no authority for instrumental music. We can't put our finger on the passage as we talked about Sunday morning and say, this is God is pleased with. But do you realize tonight you can sing and not have the instrument and still be wrong? What would be wrong with singing without the instrument if our motive is wrong? I want us to stop and think about the motive. We sing to give God glory, but if we're singing so everyone can hear how pretty our voice is, or we want the praise of individuals, and we just want to display ourselves, I'll tell you, that's not right. We speak to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto God, to praise God. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter. In the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly, that the Hebrew writer says something in verse 15. He said, "For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." I like that, fruit of the lips. That's not just singing, that is any kind of praise. But I want us to understand that that is a spiritual sacrifice. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, when Peter was writing to the churches throughout Asia, notice what Peter had to say. In 1 Peter 2, look at verse 5. He said, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." Underscore spiritual. And notice he said, "You're a holy priesthood." Then watch it. Offering up what? Spiritual sacrifices. That's what God is pleased with. He said that's acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So tonight, what motivates me? Why am I motivated to sing? What should motivate me is I want to praise God. That's the inward motivation. Now, some people just enjoy singing. Nothing wrong with that. And if you've got a beautiful voice, great. That is a wonderful blessing to you. But I need to understand this much. My motivation should be to give God glory. I'll tell you something. Everything I do, I need to check my motive. Why is it I'm doing what I'm doing? And sometimes I recognize that if we're not careful, we cannot have the right motive. Same could be said about prayer. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter. And in the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter, you remember that here is an outward act of prayer, one speaking to the Lord. But notice in Matthew 6 and verse 5, he said not to pray like the hypocrites. Well, why? Their motive was wrong. Look why they were praying. They prayed, it says in verse 5, because they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Underscore seen. That was their goal. They wanted people to watch them and say, well, look at how righteous they are. Now, it's not wrong to pray in public. But I'll tell you something, my friend. What's our motive behind it? We better be certain that we're wanting to please God and not be looking at individuals saying, did they see us pray? Not getting credit here. He says it's better to pray in the closet than to pray where you're being seen of men, where you're trying to attract attention to yourself. What is our motive? But I'll tell you something else. Think about when it comes to the Lord's Supper. You have the outward act of the bread and the fruit of the vine. We don't have hamburger. We don't have Coke. We have bread. We have the fruit of the vine. That's how Jesus instituted it in Matthew 26. And we understand outwardly that must be right. But so must the inward part. What's our motive for taking the Lord's Supper? If you take your Bible, look if you will in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he was rebuking them because their motive had become wrong. They'd become carnal. They no longer were spiritual when they took of the Lord's Supper. And he said, I don't praise you because of what you do. He said, I will not praise you in verse 22 because you're taking the Lord's Supper in a way that's contrary to the way God had instituted it. Then in verses 23 through 26, he tells them how they're to partake of it. And he said, you do so thinking about what Jesus has done for you. And he says in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. My motive is I'm thinking about what Jesus has done for me. One last point in the lesson, James. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 5th chapter, notice, if you will, that Jesus tells us in verse 16 that we're to let our light so shine before men that they see your good works and watch it. Glorify your Father in heaven. But you know there's a danger of doing good works. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. What did he tell us? Do your good works that God may be glorified. If you do them so that you have glory, notice what he said. In verse 3, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, why? Go back, verse 2. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. What's their reward? They've been seen by others. And they've received glory. You know, sometimes I have to check my motive. There have been times I've done things just because I'm the preacher. And I thought, well, it's expected of me. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll do something just to please people. And I'm not talking about a wedding here. I'm talking about our works. We need to do things so that God is glorified. And I'll tell you what that does. When I do it to give God glory, it doesn't feel like work anymore. Because when you love somebody, and you truly love them, you want to do everything you can to please them. Now, I bet you when Sister Bush started dating Brother Bush, he did everything he could to impress her. He probably still does. Well, why? He wanted her approval. And it didn't seem like work driving late at night to pick her up or take her home. It didn't seem like anything to pay for a meal. Well, why? We want to do nice things to people we love. We want to get their approval. But think on a higher scale than that with God. If you love God, it won't seem like work when you give Him glory. Because you understand that's what He deserves. Sometimes we roll our eyes when we feel like the preacher's getting onto us because we're not working. And the really problem isn't anything the preacher's saying. The problem is our motive's not right. And if I can get my motive right, then the outward act will come along. If I can do it and see that it's for my God, who, by the way, has done so much for me, then these little things I do for Him won't seem like work, but they will give me joy because I'm giving Him glory. Question. We're limited to judging the outside. God sees both sides. What's our motive? And may God help us have the right motive, that we can do those things that point people to Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you've never been baptized, the outward motive is that we be baptized into Christ, we go down into water. But the inward motive is we do it by faith in Jesus Christ. If you need to be baptized, we pray for you as we stand.